Hey now, we are the multimedia women
man
today. Multimedia women and man podcast number 53.
We're the reliable ones.
Just remember the reliable ones. You are the reliable ones. Gotti supposedly is in Austin.
Yeah, he's there for the Pro Football Hall of Fame.
That's right.
Interviewing people.
Yeah, Emmitt Smith, which I think is funny for him to go all the way to Austin to interview Emmitt Smith.
Well, that picture said Dallas Film Festival, didn't it?
No, it said Pro Hall of Fame.
I thought it said Dallas Film Festival, like the red carpet thing. But, what's it called? And then the Conways, I think their family's in town. So
yeah, which I think is hilarious because I'm sure that if it's anything like the rest of the Conways, they're all like huddled up in a little bear cave. And they all could have come to podcast this morning.
I agree.
But I was thinking about that this morning when I was showering.
We have apples today.
We do. We have apple slices this morning.
Should we get some honey so we can celebrate?
We could order some peanut butter. Is that today?
No.
Jewish New Year?
Definitely not.
Oh. Apples and honey?
Apples and honey. August, September, something like that.
Yeah, Rosh Hashanah.
Jewish New
Year. Iranian New Year is March.
You know what? White New Year? January 1st.
That's racist.
I was like, I don't think the Spanish have a New Year. I think we might have like a Mayan New Year, but I'm not Mexican, so I can't.
You're not?
No, I'm Puerto Rican.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Mm-hmm. Are you half or full?
Half. Oh. My dad's full Puerto Rican.
Which half?
My dad. Oh, my boobs.
Glad you immediately almost got there.
Just those. I just had to think that my boobs would take up half my body. That's such a lie. Go with it.
Gravity, 60 years old.
I am really old, guys.
We have a fun podcast today. We're going to talk about some movies that premiered at Sundance that we'll hopefully see this year.
Hopefully. How funny would it be? I always hate that about Sundance stuff is like these movies come out and there's always this hype and it's so exciting and then you never see the movies.
That's true. You know what?
There's some that you get to see, but not like there's ones that premiered at Sundance like 3 years ago. And it was like, the rage of Sundance. Yeah. And then
there's a movie like 2 or 3 years ago at Dallas Film Festival called Queens of Country or Queens Country. Something like that with Matt Walsh and Lizzie Kaplan, and it was awesome. Mm. And Ron Livingston.
I like Lizzie Kaplan.
And it was awesome.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
It's never
I
come out.
That came out the same year. Didn't that come out the same year as King of Summer, too?
No. It was
the
year before.
Okay. It was the year.
But it's still never come out.
Oh, it was the year that, because they were all in the same festival, sorry, because it did Sundance. South by Southwest and Diff because they're all like
yeah.
they all
but it was excellent
and that was the same year as
like The Pact and
the big one from that year. Oh my god,
I can't remember. It's been too many weeks.
I had it and then it was gone
and it's gone, but it's February 1st. We're here with Susan Kamya from thischicksflix.com and Irving Community Television, also Gwen Reyes from
Fresh Fiction
TV
and TV's Gwen Reyes.
WFAA, check her out. She's
I am. It's funny. I changed on my LinkedIn profile. I know this is getting super deep. I changed my LinkedIn profile the other day from literary expert to literary contributor on my WFAA title. Because I don't know. It goes back and forth. I just felt like being an expert one day, and now I feel like being a contributor.
Good.
I don't know. Being a team player.
And I'm Brian Kluger from Boomstick Comics and High Def Digest.
Huh? Everyone. High
Def Digest.
That sounds like something you do after you eat a lot of apples.
It's true. We'll find out today.
Yeah, okay.
I'm curious. I sent Gwen a text earlier this week since she is the literary expert
about
some books that I found that I want to start a book club over. Oh. But hey, the guy's name is Chuck Tingle.
Yeah.
And if you don't know that name, you should totally go to Amazon and look at Chuck Tingle.
What was one of the titles of his books, wasn't it?
Pounded by President Bigfoot.
Yes, I
was like, he
writes homoerotic sci-fi books.
I wouldn't even call them like
books.
I would be okay with calling them books. I would not be okay with calling them erotic. I would call them straight up pornography
because it's all homoerotic men.
It could just
porn
be, you know,
with raptors and Bigfoot and unicorns.
But homoerotic.
And you're actually reading this?
I want to.
You should buy it. Why didn't you get it for your Kindle?
I don't have a Kindle. I have Barnes & Noble all the way.
Well, then buy it on Barnes & Noble.
I will. Well, I tried to... I sent out the link to his books to a bunch of people.
What, you don't want to read if you can't read with other people?
No, I wanted to get everybody in a room and we could read a chapter live in person because I think that would be awesome for those books.
But here's the thing. That is like not even the tip of the iceberg of that whole like world of poorly done self-published porn books. Like there are ones about like seducing Bigfoot. There's the T-Rex porn that came out a few years ago. There's Amish erotica, which is all about suppositories and like keeping women in the barn and spanking them and force feeding them suppositories. One is called Restless Rumspringa. I read it. It was really terrible.
Well, the one I saw from Chuck Tingle, there's a literally football squad of gay unicorns and then a human male who,
they just get up and
have you heard of this movie called Dolphin Lover? No, it's a documentary about a guy who apparently had sex with a dolphin.
I'm totally. Is it Dolphin Tales?
Is it the blow?
Dolphin Tales?
It's called Dolphin.
High five. Lover.
We gotta watch. See, I'm way more interested in the movie than I am in these bad books because these books are not edited well. It's like they're just money grabs, and I'm not into that. Like I could get much better porn somewhere else.
That's funny. Yeah,
there's much better smut
online.
There's much better smut to be read. I don't need to read parody smut.
Say Dolphin. Oh, it's a short. It's a documentary short.
Oh my god.
17 minutes. Dolphin Lover tells the story of Malcolm Brenner and his romantic and sexual love affair with the captive bottlenose dolphin.
Guys, we could do a whole zoology.
Florida.
We could do a whole zoology episode because there's that. I want to see that now, and I wish we need to start a Kickstarter so that we can like make a feature and then a feature like documentary. But then, have you guys heard of the movie Zoo? The documentary that came out maybe 2008 or 2009.
Sex with the
Horse. Yep, it is about. It's beautiful. It's absolutely beautiful. It looks like Errol Morris directed.
They actually show him having sex with horse.
They don't actually show him having sex with the horse, but what they do show is the horse that was sexually assaulted by this group of. So okay, in this
that talking head horse interview.
Yeah, it was really. It's a beautiful documentary, but it is one that is rough to watch. So it's about this group of animal lovers who would go up on the weekends to this remote ranch cabin thing in the outside of the hills of or in the mountains of Seattle. And it was this ranch hand was there and he would have this little group of friends that would all get super drunk and fuck horses. And it is awesome. It's so crazy. But the reason it got shut down, what happened was one of the guys got a little too into it, ended up getting internal bleeding and died, and the friends dropped him off at the hospital.
Turns out that
because they would train the horses, like that's where they came up, and there was no bestiality law on the books in Washington State, and then it became after this whole experience. So what they ended up having to do was that it was animal cruelty because these people were training the horses to fuck them. So it was like this whole, they had this like rigging system in the barns that would do it. Well, the guy that got killed was a executive at Boeing.
Sweet.
And so that's what brought the whole thing down.
some rich guy.
It's awesome. It used to be on Netflix called Zoo. It's a movie called Zoo.
Yeah, watch that.
But I don't know if it's still on Netflix or not, but it's awesome. It's beautiful. It's. I remember I saw it at the Alamo Draft House in Austin, and it, you know, we've all been to the draft house, so we know it's like you eat and you can hear stuff. It's pretty, everybody's pretty respectable. I did not hear a peep from anybody throughout the entire film. People's forks were like hovered over their mouths for like an hour because you're just like, huh? What is happening right now? But it's a great movie. It's a really good movie.
Produced.
So we should watch Dolphin Lover. And Zoo.
That's a good back-to-back double feature.
Yeah, it is a good back-to-back double feature.
All right. Enough. Well, I never thought I'd say this, but enough with this porn business. So let's
talk. You missed the AVNs. They were last weekend, too.
I know. I usually watch it. Next year, we're going to try to get the multimedia men and women to get on the red carpet at the AVNs to interview everybody.
That must smell horrible.
Must be awesome, though.
Yeah, right.
Like, it'll smell better than a comic book convention.
Cool.
that was the over the line. All right. So, movies that came out this weekend, Black or White and Project Almanac. Who saw those here?
I know.
I saw both.
I saw one.
And?
How did you think of Project Almanac?
You nailed it. It was good. I mean, honestly, I'd even say just, it was fine.
It was fine. It was a solid okay.
Yeah, a solid okay is the perfect word for it. It's not, like, while you're watching, you definitely are entertained.
Mm-hmm.
But afterwards, I felt unsatisfied.
Yeah, I was like, it was a little...
That's what she said.
And I, yeah, it was like, while it was going on, I was like, all right. And then it was over, and I was like, that's it. I don't know. I'm kind of over found footage.
Yes.
Phil, and I'm like, there needs to be something cool and different about it. And this just does.
It's very rare these days where you have a really good found footage. When the last really good one I liked was Afflicted. It was a horror movie. Mm. It was really well done.
And horror films work really well with this. This whole genre of the, it's like Chronicles, another one that's like this, where it's the science fiction-y element to it or something
the
otherworldly.
Superhero, yeah.
It was fine. The problem that I had with it was because it was handheld, mm-hmm. I got really sick a little bit a couple of times. Because you'd have the shaking and a lot of the shaking on the screen. So, like, the camera was shaking and there was, like, levitation and stuff. And it was fine. Kids will like it. I kept saying the whole time, I was like, this is perfect for a 16-year-old who's, like, never seen anything. And this mm-hmm. is going to be their scream. This is going to be, like, the coolest movie they've ever watched.
Yeah. I went with my friend on a Friday night and... We saw a group, literally, and we were just like, don't you hate that we were these girls one time in middle school?
That's all I was thinking.
They were like, they sat in the front, because you always think you're so cool, and you're either in the front or the very back. And they're just like, that's how they sat.
Like squealing all these boys.
And you could just tell they thought they were so cool. They were dropped off by their parents, and they were watching this PG-13 movie.
Ooh.
I totally agree. I mean, I was watching it, and I'm just sitting there the whole time just going... This is a movie that, like, 14, 15-year-olds are just going to lose their mind over. And it bombed, though. It totally bombed this weekend.
I mean, it was kind of bland, and they actually had potential to do more with the story and give us kind of a twist or a really shocking revelation, and they didn't do that.
But see, I think, like, movies have calmed down because, like, when we were growing up, we had, like, Flight of the Navigator and Explorers and Back to the Future. And those were really well-done movies, not, like... You know, this one that seemed like it was.
It could be that it's safe, or it could be that, guys, we're old and we've seen a lot of movies.
I do think that, too. I do think that you've seen a lot, so we're much more critical, obviously.
Yeah.
But I'm not really... My friend brought up a good point, too, with the found footage. It gets to the point where it's almost unrealistic how much they're capturing
like
certain moments. It leaves some things to the imagination, because just... Like him with the girl. It's like, really, all of this would be filmed right now? I don't feel like that's...
It would all be filmed and no one said, hey, dude, you need to be cooler with your girl over there.
Yeah.
Like, a lot of that stuff never... And I now, because I watch for those things, I now watch these movies trying to trip up the direct, trying to find, like, where they're tripping up, where they're like, that could not have been recorded.
Right. That's what I was doing the whole time. I was like, Well, even, like, when he's hitting on the girlfriend, I'm just like, is his sister creeping?
Yeah.
Because that's really awkward.
Super awkward.
There's just...
And it works in, like, I remember, I really loved End of Watch with Michael Peña and
Jake
Gyllenhaal. Because I liked what they did with that, where it was on there, it was on them at all times.
Okay.
And that makes a lot of sense. Because it's like, it was, they make a, that's a plot point where Jake's doing this whole, a class in community college where he's got to document it, and then it becomes something that he's just used to, so he pins his GoPro on him at all times. And I'm like, that's a cool little
thing. And that was well done.
It was really, I love that movie. I really love that movie. It's really good.
You should watch that.
It's not, because it's by the same guy, what's his name?
Anton Fuqua? Isn't that him?
No, it's the guy that did, it's the guy that did Training Day.
Isn't that Anton Fuqua?
No, I think it's the other one. It's the one that did, Fury.
Man.
Yeah, I don't know. But anyway.
Oh, the same guy. Oh, well.
I can look it up. I have a pocket camera.
And Black, saw Black or White with Kevin Costner.
It was
cheesy.
So cheesy. Painful at times.
Does Octavia Spencer die?
No. She was...
Does Clavangene die?
She's not in it. There are other small Black children. She's not the only one.
She was a good actress. Honestly, my favorite character was the judge. She was the best thing in the movie.
I like judges too.
Yeah, she didn't even have to say much. She just a look from her just said it all. And I don't know. It was just a very forced film, just emotionally. Like, they were, I hate when films try to tell me to be sad.
Yeah.
Just hate it. Don't tell me that I need to cry right now because I'm not going to.
Yeah. I hate when movies with, did it have like a message with it?
Oh, yeah.
Because wasn't it like a super Christian-y movie?
It felt Christian-y. It did feel very Christian-y. It was just, it was kind of like, why is Kevin Costner doing this movie? And it was his passion project, so I'm a little surprised that this is what
he... Passion projects hardly ever work out for people.
It's very 50-50.
That's interesting.
I don't know. It's
so,
sweet.
So another weekend of just eh movies.
Yeah.
I think, what is it? American Sniper did really well this weekend.
Boo.
I still liked American Sniper. I'd still say go see that over anything that came out.
I'd say go find Boyhood because it was wonderful. Correct. I finally caught up on Boyhood.
Correct.
And I loved, and apparently it was 3 hours, so I didn't know.
Whiplash is back in theaters.
Oh, yes.
And if you haven't seen that.
At the Inwood.
That's right. I saw
that. Alamo Draft House too. So yeah. go watch that.
And I think all three of us have a review of that up on our sites.
Yeah, go check out. I think they all say the same thing.
This movie's awesome. J.K. Correct. Simmons for life.
Yes. He was on SNL.
Talking.
He was on SNL. He was funny. Oh, it was a great.
Check out his monologue where he plays his character from Whiplash.
And, oh my gosh, that's going to be cool. I'll watch
Judging
it when
Drummers.
I get home.
All right. It is February 1st, so let's go down a small list of movies that come out in February and give us the yay or nay. First, that's coming out this coming week, Seventh Son with Julianne Moore and Jeff Bridges.
Guys, nothing looks as terrible as this movie.
Well, wait.
Right? It
like,
so
every time
it
I see
like
the trailer for it.
Looks like a medieval sorcery.
It looks like a big pile of, like, bubonic plague shit.
Okay, so just, go into the movie thinking it's going to be a Nick Cage movie. And then you might enjoy it.
No, I can't.
Was it a Nick Cage movie?
No, but there is another movie like that movie coming out with Nick
but
Cage.
But at least, I know what you're talking about, and I've seen the trailer. That is, I can laugh. I can look at that one as a comedy because it looks so bad. This just looks...
Like they're trying to do too serious?
Yeah, like it just looks like shit. Like it really does.
It looks so
bad. So Julianne Moore is nominated for an Oscar, right?
Yeah.
So this is her next project. It's usual.
This always happens to an Oscar nominee too, though. Like they do a great film, and they're like, you know what? I want to do something really crappy. I want to do something fun.
But wasn't this one also filmed like a few years ago, and it's just now getting out?
But let's just go back.
It's
Julianne Moore and Jeff Bridges. They were
People I love.
Jeff Lebowski. That's Maude and Jeffrey Lebowski.
Yeah, well,
and
Jeff
isn't
Bridges.
Logan Lerman in it, or Freddie Highmore, or some British kid? Somebody's
some dude. Racism. I know who you're talking about.
British racism. All right, moving on.
Yeah, Seven Sin does not look good to me. I don't know what it's about. Every time I see it, I just look and go, that looks like something I want to see less and less of.
I can't watch the trailer all the way through, and that says something.
All right.
His name is Ben Barnes.
Ben Barnes. Oh, he's dreamy.
Dreamy.
He was just in Sons of Liberty. He played Sexy Sam Adams.
Sexy Sam Adams.
Mm-hmm. You can catch that on History Channel On Demand.
Sweet. All right, moving on. Jupiter Ascending by the Wachowski siblings.
Yep.
I'm going to watch
Channing Tatum, Mila Kunis, right?
Yep.
It looks like their next big sci-fi epic, which I guess it did play at Sundance, and then just everybody was pretty silent. A lot of people walk out.
Yeah, people at Sundance are not very
good
polite.
Audience members.
Well, I'm just surprised they picked that movie to screen at Sundance, because that would be the last film that I would think to be screened there.
Because it gets a lot of press, I guess, because it's a big
maybe
festival.
They want to
know the crowd that wants to watch
the Wachowskis
movie.
Did The Matrix, they did Speed Racer.
They also did Atlas, or no.
And Cloud Atlas.
I loved Cloud
Atlas. I love that movie.
It's rough. It's one of those movies that, and maybe this one will be the same way, but with Cloud Atlas, like I remember about a fourth of the way through when I was like, nothing's going to make sense to me. I'm just going to go with this movie. And at that moment, like, it just all
I
was...
Like
I really enjoyed it.
I have no expectations for
Jupiter. I don't ever want to see it again.
I just want to watch it for fun.
Yeah, Jupiter Ascending will be interesting to see.
I don't quite understand. There's, like, Channing Tatum plays an elf. And he's got some tattoos on his face. And then there's Mila Kunis, who somehow doesn't have a weird accent, but was raised on a farm. Like, I don't understand what's going on. And then there's, like, and then there's Jupiter, and it's just, like, hanging out.
It's just hanging out.
I feel like that's how we should just describe movies from
now
on.
It's ascending.
Yeah, it's, like, dipping down. And then there's, like, somebody's going, Stephen Hawking's is there.
Well, yeah.
And he's, like, mad.
I'm really curious to see him in it. I don't know. Like, maybe it's just all his Oscar buzz and stuff lately, but...
Yeah, we're talking about Eddie Redmayne, not the real Stephen Hawking.
That would be badass, though.
That would be badass.
Come on, he's attractive, right?
He's got moments. If I had to choose, like, if we go back in time to... Les Mis, which I think everybody in that movie is at peak cuteness. I'm still going to go with Aaron Tveit or Anjaras, the one with the lion mane of hair. He got killed. I liked him.
All right, another movie coming out in February, SpongeBob Part 2. I enjoyed.
Have you seen it?
One.
Did you watch it yesterday?
No.
I enjoyed the first movie. I don't think the second movie will be as good, but
they've done more than one.
Yeah, this is the second one.
Oh, wow. Where did the first one go? Did that just come out last year? 7 years ago?
I
honestly feel dumber every time I watch an episode. Like, I can't watch an episode. I watch it
really?
As a kid.
It's like somebody that's, like, really high that made it.
Of course.
That's why it's great.
That's why
it's good. Ugh. All right, so there's another movie coming out that I have not seen out and think they're doing screeners of it, but it looks awesome.
Fifty Shades of Grey?
No, we're getting there. But The Voices. It's with Ryan Reynolds. And he
plays
a nice guy who goes out on
this movie looks bonkers.
On a date, and she stands him up, and then he kills her. And then he's like,
and his
goes on a killing spree.
And he projects his consciousness into, not a consciousness, his conscience.
Cat and dog talk to him.
Yeah.
And his cat's the evil one, his dog's the nice
one.
It looks awesome. It's like, why aren't we screening this?
This movie looks bonkers.
But it's called The Voices. I don't know if it's just New York and L.A., but I thought it was getting a wide release. But is it? I love Ryan Reynolds and the girl he had a crush on is Gemma Arterton.
Jenna Kendrick's in it.
Gemma Arterton.
Yeah.
I must watch this.
Yeah, I saw this the other day. I saw it like pop up on Netflix. Or not Netflix. I saw it pop up on IMDb's like scroll, and I was like, "What is this movie? This movie looks great. I must watch every minute of it."
Yeah, it said like there's like bloody violence, and I was like, "Man,
it's definitely not a critical success and waiting to happen."
I want
but
to see
it'll
this.
Be fine. We'll have a good time watching
it. Either needs to be in Netflix or let's screen that.
I'll read the synopsis. Jerry, who is Ryan Reynolds, is that chipper guy clocking the 9 to 5 at a bathtub factory with the offbeat charm of anyone who could use a new friend. With the help of his court-appointed psychiatrist, he pursues his office crush. However, the relationship takes a sudden turn, murderous turn, after she stands him up for a date. Guided by his evil talking cat and benevolent talking dog, Jerry must decide whether to keep his striving for normalcy or indulge in a much sinister path.
I just love that it is like an anti-cat film. It is like, cats are the devil. I agree. I hate cats.
Love my cat.
Jerry loved his cat too, and Jerry's cat told him to kill a bitch.
You know, my cat.
Susan's the cat lady right now. All right, moving on to Gwen's most anticipated movie.
Yeah, it is my most anticipated movie.
50 Shades of Grey.
Oh, 50 Shades of Grey.
I'm anticipating.
I cannot wait. I wasn't sure when our screener was going to be, so I'm going at 8 p.m. on that Thursday. I have my whole book club's going. We got sponsors to get us little goodie bags.
Oh, my God.
Like, we're going, and it's going to be fucking amazing.
You got lassos.
You got goodie bags?
I got goodie bags.
What is in that?
Well, right now, so it's a bag, and then we have ties that everybody gets to wear. And then I have to still go over to Condom Sense to see if they'll give me some, like...
Oh. God.
Like implements, but we get books and stuff to go with it.
That was the last book I read because I don't really read. And
how do you not really read?
Because I don't like to. It's boring. I'm sorry.
If you want more books like that, I can hook you up with something that's much, much better.
Because I couldn't even. I love the first book. I breezed through 50 Shades of Grey, but like the other one, I started reading the first two chapters and I'm like, this is, I can't.
I gave up after the first book. I was like, that's enough.
I know.
And I knew they got together, so I was like, it's fine.
I just Wikipedia the last two.
I can't wait, guys. I'm
but
so excited.
Our male audience, you can stay away because it's going to be like
but
Christmas.
But, you know, it's February 13th.
All I'm saying is ladies or men who get dragged, I think you'll, like, reap the rewards after.
Yeah, you will. Actually, if you're a good boyfriend and you go see this movie with your girlfriend or your significant other, you will get all the blowjobs.
You will get so lucky.
You will get so
lucky. You heard it first year.
I'm telling you.
all the blowjobs.
Yeah.
When I read that book, it was dangerous.
Yeah.
It was really dangerous.
Exactly. I'm so excited about that movie. I cannot wait. Jamie Dornan is a babe. The only thing that's interesting is that everybody keeps talking about how Jamie Dornan and Dakota Johnson don't look like they have chemistry.
Oh, I think they
exude. And I think they do. I think they exude, like, the character so well.
God, me too.
I'm just like, it's going to be great.
I think it's
perfect. And there's no tampon scene, so I'm even happier.
I think it's perfect.
I think it's going to be terrible.
And the director's awesome. I love her. I love Nowhere Boy, so I'm super excited.
I can't believe that there's no chemistry. When that trailer, the shot in the elevator, I'm sweating. I get, like...
When she's just, like, biting her lip, looking over at him. Oh, I just watched it before I left.
So, anybody...
And then Susan and Gwen died.
Whoever's listening, go to thischicksflix.com and email Susan and find out where she's going to be at the screen. Sit by her, because...
I know.
It's going to be crazy.
We're doing... Fresh Fiction is doing a book club with the Alamo Drafthouse, and that's going to be our first book-to-book adaptation movie.
That's cool.
So it'll be the following weekend.
So go to Alamo Drafthouse, too.
If you want to see it again, you can come.
Fun.
I think I'll be watching that multiple times.
I can't wait. Yeah. I don't even care if it's bad. Like,
oh,
I'm like, I'm on.
I'm 100% sure I'm going to like it, honestly. I'm pretty sure it's going to be a good review on that part.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
For fuck's sake.
Like, I've already told them. Like, I only have guys that write for Fresh Fiction, and I've already told them that they're not writing the review for this movie. Because I'm
you
like.
You need to. You need
no,
to.
No! Because
you need to have
you
both.
You should have both of your review and the guy's.
Because your review is totally going to be wrong and jaded.
No! That's not true. But it would be interesting to see, like, a back. Or you should do one of those combo ones you guys do.
Oh, yeah, that would be cool.
Where you, like, conversate.
Have Preston do it.
Yeah.
All right, moving on to another movie that looks way better, Kingsman: Secret Service.
Oh, yeah, that does look really good.
That looks badass. This looks like, I mean, Sam Jackson's in it, and
Colin Firth,
and it looks sci-fi.
I've been enjoying Colin. So this is like, what, do you have a bio?
Did you say Colin Farrell?
It's Colin Firth.
Didn't I say Firth?
You did.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, maybe I'm hearing Farrell.
But yeah, it looks really good. It looks, so it's like a fun British spy film, but it's bordering on that humor and action-y. I think I'm really excited. And it's by Matthew Vaughn, right? Who did the first two.
It looks like what every Jackie Chan movie wanted to be, but wasn't.
That was the best panel at Comic-Con, by the way.
Was it Kingsman?
The Kingsman panel.
That's cool.
They were the best. They had
Is it based off a comic book or something?
I forget. Okay. Isn't it based off something, though?
Must be based off something.
Maybe,
either way...
Experts, us three guys.
Yeah.
It's based off something. Everything's based off something.
If it's comics or books, I don't know. But they were just so excited to do this movie. Like, all of them, they were saying how they always liked spies movies, and this was their passion growing up. And
yeah, that's really
kind of like fulfilling their dreams.
I'm really excited. I've been enjoying Colin Firth's press coverage that he's been doing the last couple of weeks, talking about Ewan McGregor's penis.
Sweet.
Because he's been doing... So I've been enjoying like a crossover with those two, because he's been doing press for Kingsman.
Yeah,
so.
I think we're all seeing Kingsman this week, so I'm excited.
Yeah, that's
next
right.
Week.
Next week.
RSVP.
I need to do that.
Another movie coming out, finally, this played at Fantastic Fest this past year, called Wormwood. It's a zombie movie. Excellent. And it's spelled W-Y-R-M, Wood. Wormwood.
Wormwood.
Highly recommend it. Another one, a sequel, looks good. Hot Tub Time Machine 2. Sans John Cusack, but it still looks amazing.
Yeah, I still haven't seen the first one.
Oh, I love the first one.
Really, the first one's excellent.
I know, I've heard nothing but great things. It's just never
Second one looks
nice.
Funny. It doesn't look... It looks like they just, like, went all out for it, which hopefully... And then another movie coming out this week that we saw a while ago called McFarlane USA, another Kevin Costner movie.
Okay.
It's a Disney sports movie, so it's kind of like falls in line with Miracle and Remember the Titans. It's a good, it's feel good.
Better than Black or White. That's
there you go.
For sure.
So it's about a.
It's
a
no
run.
Draft Day.
And it's
no
a,
Draft Day was awesome.
Of the three terrible Kevin Costner movies, we're gonna go with Draft Day as the
one.
I like Draft Day.
McFarlane was good though. McFarlane was good though.
McFarlane made me cry at the very end.
Yeah, it's they did a good job.
I cried in Jack and Jill, so just because I cry in a movie doesn't mean it's good.
I think my favorite movie
I'm
of
a sucker
the,
for mom stories.
My favorite movie of the month is finally coming out, which it should have been released in December, but it was also played at Fantastic Fest. It's called Everly, directed by Joe Lynch, who did Knights of Badassdom. It's with Selma Hayek, and it's basically Kill Bill all in one room. It's
oh, right
bad
on.
Fucking ass. Everly.
So it's like Waiting for Godot meets... Kill Bill.
Yeah, it's
with
awesome.
Selma Hayek.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Cool.
It's so good. Hardcore, violent, and amazing. Another movie coming out, which I haven't really heard. I mean, I've heard about it, but I haven't seen much press.
I still just
it,
want to talk about 50 Shades of Grey.
Is Focus. Focus with Will Smith and Margot Robbie. It's like a gangster. It's February.
February, okay.
Yeah.
We'll probably get a screening for that.
I haven't heard much about it, though. I mean, like, as far as like not like getting a press screening, but like not on the trailers for it, but it's Will Smith's big movie, so.
It won't be
The Legend of Bagger Vance.
I love Margot Robbie.
But coming full circle, when we started with Seventh Son, at the end of the month, there's a movie called Outcast, which looks the same with Nick Cage and coming out of retirement, Hayden Christensen.
Was he in retirement?
Has he done anything?
No, but...
Maybe he just wanted to take care of his kids.
Yeah, he just had a baby. He's got to pay his bills now.
Shh, you making that Star Wars money?
I don't know if he has any Star Wars money.
I really like Hayden Christensen.
I love Life is a House.
That was a good movie.
Wasn't that such a great movie?
That is such an underrated film.
So good. Heartbreaking.
It's absolutely my favorite Hayden Christensen. That's what made me fall in love with him.
Outcast... If you see the poster for it, it's got Nicolas Cage and Hayden Christensen in like medieval garb, and it's like swords and supernatural stuff.
The trailer looks like a joke. I'm gonna be honest.
It's Nick Cage.
No, it looks
gonna
like
be awesome.
The entire time I'm watching the trailer, like, when is someone gonna pop in with their cell phone ringing and telling you?
It looks like the old Cinemark commercial where it's like that lady singing. And then it's like, the ringtone goes in.
Oh,
man.
So
minus hilarious.
The 50 Shades of Grey for you two, the voice is probably the most anticipated
voice is
I want to see.
And Kingsman.
Kingsman
and Wormwood, yeah. And Everly. Everly y'all should see because it's awesome.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not excited. But.
All right, moving on. Let's talk about Sundance. Some of the films that went on at Sundance. And let's talk about them. One of the movies.
Well, I'm glad I'm not there because it sounds like it's cold.
Yeah, I'm glad I'm not at Sundance.
And expensive.
It just happened. Awards came out. It's almost over. But one of the movies that played there, which I've been hearing about, is called True Story. And it's with Jonah Hill and Franco.
That is my number one for
the whole year.
Because it's a true story based on a true story. And it's about a New York Times reporter who interviews this guy who was accused of killing his wife and three children.
And he's been saying that he is the New York Times journalist who's played by... So James Franco plays the convicted murderer,
mm-hmm.
and Jonah Hill plays the New York Times off writer, who, by the way, was fired for making up stories. That was at the beginning of it, is that his character was fired from the New York Times because he had written fraudulent stories. But then it turns out that this murderer has been saying that he's this guy, Jonas Hill's character, the whole time. It's a really interesting. The real story, if you go and look up, like, on the murderer Wikipedia page, it's really... If you like Serial, if you like any sort of true crime,
this is
going to be creepy and awesome.
But it's crazy because both Jonah Hill and James Franco are both sort of known for, like, their Judd Apatow, Gross Out humor, but these are two Oscar-nominated people. Jonah, twice. So I wonder if this could be like a
nomination.
And
hasn't James Franco been nominated twice?
Yeah, well, once I know for 127 Hours.
Yeah,
maybe it's just the one time.
But
I think they both can handle it. Both of them kind of like dance on that creepy and serious
life. I think James Franco is one of the most versatile actors of our like generation.
I agree.
He's amazing. He really does not get enough credit for his talent.
My only problem is I totally agree with you. And I think he's an amazing actor, and he's so compelling to watch and so interesting. I think my problem with him is the same problem that a lot of people have with Kanye West, is that he boasts about how great he is so much that you're like, well, now my expectations are raised. And you're like, well, but you're a really good actor.
We know this will get a wide release, most likely.
I think it already had a wide release. It was just premiering.
I don't know, that's probably jumping the gun a little too much, but I think if it gets the proper release around award season time next year.
Yeah,
that'd be cool. I'm excited.
It looks so good. It looks like what Foxcatcher should have been.
Right.
Because I just cannot wait. I cannot wait. I love true crime. I love anything that does with like...
I hope it... Foxcatcher was my most anticipated.
I'm going to give you a documentary.
We should all know now that Bennett Miller cannot be trusted as a director.
True.
He's an asshole.
All right, moving on. Another movie, which is a documentary. It's called Prophet's Prey. It's by Amy Berg, who directed it, and she did the West of Memphis documentary.
Yeah.
This one, she went to...
What was the name of that documentary? Huh? Was it West of Memphis?
West of Memphis.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So they did all the Paradise Lost.
Yeah, yeah. No, no. I was, West of Memphis, I was like, what was that West of Memphis one called? And you're like, West of Memphis. I'm like, yeah, that's it. That's the name. That's the name of it.
We're all here.
That was a good documentary, too.
Raise your hands if you're here. In this one, she goes to this guy named Warren Jeffs, and he's the leader of
like
this,
you said, this guy.
This
How
guy.
Do you not know who Warren Jeffs is?
I was just saying, did you not watch the Lifetime movie?
Oh.
With Tony Goldwyn?
Did not know that.
Because it was great.
He's the leader of this church, which is basically like a Mormon offshoot, but it's like more,
in Texas.
More of a cult, though.
Yeah,
it's like crazy shit, yeah.
He's got it's a fundamentalist wing of the LDS church.
Yeah.
And so it's a documentary about Warren Jeffs.
Yeah.
Can I just say I wrote a review on that, and I get nonstop comments from some, like, sister wives thing that says, if you'd like to join us.
But aren't you the sister wives of Multimedia Men?
Right. It's like, come be, like, a multiple.
No, you would be the brother husbands, because there's more of you than there are of us.
Exactly.
I love everything to do with creepy religions and sex crimes and murder.
That's why
and like child brides, so I'm excited about this.
And then the score of the documentary is done by Nick Cave and Warren Ellis, so that's
right on. That'll be great.
Yeah. Alright, another movie which sounds right the fuck up my alley. It's called Turbo Kid. And I'm gonna read you this this kind of synopsis that somebody wrote from Slash Film, because I thought it perfectly described it. But it's basically about an orphan kid who lives in a post-apocalyptic world of 1997. Mm-hmm. And he's a scavenger
player.
Like Wall-E, where he collects all these 80s and 90s relics. And he meets this girl who has this turbocharged weapon, which is actually a repainted power glove from Nintendo. And they go on like this post-apocalyptic adventure.
Oh, that sounds adorable.
It's supposed to be awesome. Oh, and the producer of it is the producer, Jason Eisner, who did Hobo with a Shotgun.
All right,
It's supposedly, it's like insanely crazy.
But it sounds cute. It sounds cute and violent.
I don't think it's like a cute movie.
I was hoping it would be cute. I always like, that's another like boundary I really enjoy or a line to be balanced on is like something that is cutesy kid-like and then really dirty. Kind of like the Avatar in Her that was like swearing all the time but adorable. Like, I love that. Anything that I can live in a world like that, that's what I want.
Yeah, I think Turbo Kid is gonna be awesome.
Like Kick-Ass is another one. I'm like, this is adorable and violent.
All right, there's another movie that premiered, Noah Baumbach's
This sounds
movie.
So good.
It's
Noah Baumbach.
Mistress America with Greta Gerwig.
Yeah,
just in The Humbling.
And they co-wrote it because this is their follow-up to Frances Ha.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Wait, didn't she have two at Sundance? Is this the same thing? Or is this not...
This is the one that I don't think it won anything yesterday that I can remember. Don't quote me on that because I haven't really looked. But this one, Mrs. Sunshine? Mistress Sunshine?
Yeah, Mistress America.
Mistress America.
And it's supposed to be like Baumbach's funniest film, or like more towards the comedy
Mistress
side.
Oh, Mistress America. Yeah, that's the one I was thinking.
Yeah,
this looks really good.
Yeah, it seems more towards the comedy side than the drama.
But it's supposed to be their follow up. I mean, it is their follow up to Frances Ha,
yeah.
Which if you loved Frances Ha, which I know Susan and I did.
Oh my God.
That's supposed to be great. I love them together. I know that the two of them kind of broke up their relationships to be together, but their creativity really, really works well. So I've accepted and forgiven them for ruining marriages.
Yeah, we're looking forward to that. I think it'll be good. There's another, this next one we're going to talk about is another documentary, and it seems so fucking awesome, but so, it'll go to your deepest, like, convictions of stuff.
Sold.
Okay.
It's called Pervert Park.
Yep.
Awesome.
And it's basically a confessional documentary about a Florida trailer park that is run by explicitly organized sex offenders. And supposedly...
I'm high by a million angels right now, guys.
Freaking out.
So basically, this Florida trailer park...
It's like SVU.
It's headed up by all these horrible sex offenders, and what people live... Sex offenders live there, and it's basically interviews with these people who, like...
talk about
trying
what
to
they
get
did.
Integrated back into society.
Oh man, this sounds rough.
Yeah. So, I guess... when I say what your deepest convictions, you're probably going to feel sorry for some of these people.
You're definitely feel sorry for them. And there's probably going to be ones that you're going to want to really root for, and then they're going to turn out that they go back to the life, they go back to what they did because they don't know. And then there's going to be ones that get away from it. And that's the thing that I think is so great about film festivals in general is like, because I'm sitting here going, oh, I can't wait to watch that just to see what the end title cards is that's going to tell me where these people went. But when you go to the film festival, you get to have the filmmaker right in front of you. Yeah. And you can ask them, like, what about this person? What about this person? And that sounds, that sounds awesome.
That does sound.
I like sex crimes, guys.
Yeah, that looks crazy. It looks crazy.
I never want to have children because I'm super obsessed with sex crimes. Not doing them, but just, like, reading about
it. I mean, that's why I like Lifetime movies. I'm not going to lie.
Lifetime. SVU. SVU's my jam.
It's just this weird.
So another one is called, which looks kind of like more of like the Judd Apatow type comedy, called Sleeping with Other People. It's with Alison Brie and Jason Sudeikis. It looks like kind of like a modern day when
those are two people
Sally.
I don't like.
Oh, you don't like Alison Brie?
I don't like Alison
Brie.
She is Annie on Community, the brown haired.
She's in Mad Men. She's in. She's been in tons.
Yeah,
of
I just I've never liked her.
I've always liked
Britta, Gillian, whatever.
She is okay.
I love her.
But Alison Brie is always kind of.
And I like Jason Sudeikis.
I don't like Jason Sudeikis.
What?
It's a person. Both of my issues with them have nothing to do with their acting ability. It's their personal things that they've done that then taint my view of them. Where I'm like, I don't want to watch a movie with you in it because you're bad.
But it's a romantic comedy, and it's supposed to be really good, like, one of, like, the better ones.
Sounds like that Daniel Radcliffe, Zoe Kazan one.
Oh, What If?
Yeah.
So the next one we'll talk about sounds a lot like Mud and Kings of Summer. It's called Cop Car, and it's kind of a pretty violent crime movie where two kids find an abandoned sheriff's cruiser in the forest, and it works, and they take it on a... riding like away from their family, and they come across a bunch of people are hunting them, and it looks awesome. But
and then they go to Pervert Park.
Yeah.
And then the ultimate movie happens.
The ultimate movie. Cop Car, it's supposed to be really gritty. There's another movie called The Witch, which takes place in the 1600s.
I guess we should talk about the movies that won.
This was one of them. The Witch, was one of them that won. But it's, let's see, an exiled family comes apart at the seams when their infant son disappears into the woods. And a lot of people in the 1600s think that it's a monster. Some people think it's a person.
I still think that, and I'm living in the 21st century.
Like some mythical creature.
That's the Babadook.
Baba, that's so good.
I haven't seen it.
You
need to watch it.
He's gone.
Yeah, The Witch. Supposed to be excellent. There is also a documentary called The Nightmare, which seems like it's really fucking scary.
I love that Brian picked all the movies that we would really like.
Yeah.
This was really good of you, Brian.
I don't really like documentaries.
Thank you for curating this list.
The titles of these documentaries already.
So, this documentary called The Nightmare premiered there, and it seems like it's going to scare the fuck out of me. It's a documentary, and it's basically about somebody went to these people who are having... people stalk them in their dreams, and they're having like violent reactions when they wake up. And supposedly, they do like high end reactions of it. And that you say Freddy Krueger, you say Nightmare on Elm Street was based off a true story. The director Wes Craven was reading the paper. It was in Japan, I think, and it was this kid who was telling his parents that some guy was chasing after him in his dreams, and they do sleep studies on him, and they put him to sleep at one point to do tests, and he had a heart attack in his sleep. Wes Craven took that story to the film for on Elm Street.
Genius.
Super on board.
But supposedly, like, this is like
that was also an arc in American Horror Story Coven too. Last season.
Yeah, it sounds so terrifying, because something like when you turn off the lights at night, you're like, man, there's going to be someone.
Well, it's also like when you're sleeping, that's when you should feel the safest.
Well, that's why Freddy Krueger is so terrifying.
Yeah.
All right, so there's another documentary that sounds awesome. It's called Finders Keepers, and it's from producer Seth Gordon, who did King of Kong, which is one of the best documentaries ever. And Adam Goldberg from The Goldbergs. It's basically about a documentary about two men. This guy purchased a storage unit at an auction, and he found a severed human leg in a barbecue grill.
Yep.
And the other guy, it's his leg, and he wants it back, and he's not going to... The guy doesn't want to give it back.
Guys.
Doesn't that sound like a crazy documentary?
It does.
That does sound crazy. Did you ever see the movie A Necessary Death?
No.
It's a mockumentary about a team of filmmakers who are trying to do their like senior thesis for film school, and they decide to find a guy who's going to kill himself. They want to actually like film a suicide all the way through.
Oh my god!
And do a documentary of it. And it's crazy, and it just reminded me, listening to you describe that reminded me of that movie. It's really good. It's on Netflix.
Well,
A Necessary Death.
I may just give that.
It's funny, and it's creepy, and it's not real, which is
nice. It sounds crazy. And then the last movie we'll talk about, since we're all here a big fan of Michael Fassbender, there's a movie called Slow West with Michael Fassbender, and it's basically Michael Fassbender plays a gunslinger who goes through the woods to find his long lost love.
So. I feel like all these movies that we've talked about all can like be one movie.
There's
like they're all meeting in the middle.
There's another one at Sundance, and I just wanted to mention, it's called The Diary of a Teenage Girl, and that has, is it Alexander Skarsgård?
Yeah. Alexander Skarsgård and
Belle Pally, who she's getting raved. Like, I think she got an award too, mm-hmm. or something. But the synopsis looks like my cup of tea.
But don't these movies look amazing?
There's an artist living in 1970 San Francisco enters into an affair with her mother's boyfriend.
Sold. But what about the cancer movie? None of us talked about the cancer movie. Sold for $15 million.
What cancer movie?
Me and You and Earl or something like that. This movie had a record purchase of $15 million to be distributed.
Yes.
It won the audience award.
Yeah.
Who's in it?
I know some people.
What's the one with Jason Segel and somebody else famous that's getting raved at Sundance too?
I'm trying to remember that movie. I know what you're talking about.
Right?
Jason Segel and somebody.
Oh, that's the John Foster Wallace one.
Correct.
So this, oh, okay. The end of the tour.
Possibly.
Yeah. He interviews him at the end of his tour. Yes.
A magazine reporter recounts his travels and conversations with author David Foster Wallace during a promotional book.
It's Jason Segel
It was Jason Segel's passion project that kept him away, and it's what kept him away from filming stuff in... it's supposed to be pretty good, actually.
I heard it
was pretty good, but it was what kept him from filming a lot of the scenes the series finale of How I Met Your Mother, because he was busy filming that.
Well, considering the shitty ending of that show, I don't blame him.
Fair. So this one...
Which one are you talking about?
Me and Earl and the Dying Girl is the one that won the grand jury prize for the dramatic slate. And it won the audience award. So it won double this weekend. And the movie was about processing life, but really about celebrating a beautiful man, my father, through humor. And that's what the director had to say about the film. So it sounds like it's really, really good. They're hoping... I forget who purchased it for a record $15 million, but they're hoping that it will be this year's. My friend was in
Fault in Our Stars.
They'll be this year's Fault in Our Stars.
Well, the cast looks really great.
I heard it did win, and it looks really good and really emotional.
Olivia Cook is gorgeous, in my opinion. By the way,
she's in it.
Yes, and she is just so pretty to me.
And Cary Fukunaga had a movie at Sundance. I love Cary Fukunaga. He can do no wrong, in my opinion.
Cary Fukunaga, for those of you who don't know, did all the episodes of True Detective Season 1.
Yeah, and he did Sin Nombre, and he did Jane Eyre with our boyfriend Michael Fassbender.
Mm.
That is true. Those are some of the cool movies that premiered at Sundance. We hope to have reviews and talk about them more in depth to you on future podcasts.
Hopefully they come to DIFF.
Yeah, hopefully. Yeah, I doubt that.
Well, I know that not always. I know that. I know that James Faust, who's the creative director of Sundance, goes every year. And he tries to snatch up some movies that he can. Obviously, the big ones won't make their way over here.
He did it with. I I always mess up. I call it Hellion.
Hellion.
Hellion. And
that's Cat.
Obvious Canada. Child was a big rave at Sundance, and it was at Diff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So. All right.
Maybe.
So that's our Sundance coverage. Our next thing we'll talk about, we do a what if segment of movies that came out several years ago or more than several years ago.
What's our anniversary movie this week?
There's several, so I think we'll just go through a few of them. The first one, I don't know if you've seen or not. You should fucking see it. It's one of the best movies
I love
ever
when Brian, made. The Best Thing Guys podcast listeners, listener, I should just say, it's probably my mother, is that Brian will pick these movies and none of us will have seen them. And it'll be like, what if blah, blah, blah happened? And I'll be like, I don't know, Brian.
What was
that
one?
Is a movie I do not know.
What was that one
to.
That he was like so adamant about?
Henry,
Portrait of a Serial Killer.
Like, everyone but Susan has seen this.
And nobody but you had seen it.
Not seen it.
You and Adam, because, you know.
Yeah, but nobody Adam else has seen everything. It. You're like, well, it's really easy. Just look up the synopsis. And it's like, but nobody's
seen
it.
Yeah.
All right, so this one came out on February 2nd, which is tomorrow.
Groundhog Day.
In 1950, it is called The Third Man.
Oh, I haven't seen that,
God
Brian.
Damn it, Brian.
What the hell?
God damn it, Brian.
Literally one of the best movies ever made on anybody's list. Orson Welles, it's... A guy.
I know who that is, but I still didn't.
He was
see
in
the
Muppets.
Movie.
He was in the Muppets. Jesus Christ.
And he also directed Citizen Kane.
Yeah.
Well, that came out, but I think
find a movie we've actually seen.
Out
Brian.
Of all the remakes that have been done, I feel I mean like Third Man is perfect.
Was Third Man
like
that?
You were like 1950. You should have seen. That.
I went to film school, but still.
So did I.
I know, but I'm saying just because
I didn't watch anything.
I did. I watched. I just didn't watch that.
Went to film school, too, and they did not show us this one.
Jesus, you should. All right, February 1st of 1980.
God, we're all such winners at our film school.
February 1st of 1980, Caligula.
Yes, I've seen Caligula. My parents are mortified to know that I've seen Caligula.
Really?
I found my father's secret. My dad had up with his porn. He had
Caligula?
A copy of Caligula hanging out
you
up there.
You should tell
and I watched
Susan
it.
About Caligula.
So Caligula follows the he was the Roman emperor, right? Caligula?
Yes.
Who was like super, he was crazy, super into orgies, super into killing people. Ooh. And so it's basically the whole movie's like a blood orgy. But it was one of the first rated X films.
Yeah.
And what was really interesting is the director went in and he was like trying to tell this beautiful story about this crazy emperor and all of this. And then it got turned into this crazy porn film. In the editing process, and the director like completely removed himself from it.
Wow.
And was it Stanley Kubrick that it, no Stanley
no,
Kubrick
not Kubrick.
Did Spartacus and removed himself from that.
He's still labeled, but he does not want. He didn't want anything to do with it because he didn't have the control.
So there would be scenes. Malcolm McDowell stars as Caligula in Caligula, and there are scenes in it where they had filmed it and then gone in and added like these really raunchy. Orgy and porn scenes that were not in the original principal photography.
Yeah.
And so it's just, there's so much fascinating stuff about that. So let's talk about Caligula. I can do this.
All right, Caligula.
This is a movie I've seen.
Who would you want to be the main character?
I love Malcolm McDowell.
Well, everybody does, but like, who else? Like, what if... What
okay,
if
so
Kubrick,
let's go back to 1980. I don't even remember the director of Caligula was, but I know he was mad.
So he's the main star in the
movie? So think, like, sexy Malcolm McDowell, like, you know, like, 10 years after he did,
Clockwork Orange.
I think he's pretty hot. I don't know.
Not
he's still hot.
Yeah. I mean, if he did, if...
I interviewed him at a Frightmare red carpet, and there's something still attractive about him.
Super attractive about him.
It was really gross, though. The girl next to me, which I just find this was inappropriate on a red carpet, she's like, your voice makes me wet.
Ew!
She told him.
Gross!
I was like, she actually said that to him. And she was a good sport about it, like, laughed and stuff, and I'm just like, I'm sorry.
Inappropriate
but
all
there
times.
There are some boundaries as a, like, I can understand just being,
clearly
I find you attractive.
I'm inappropriate.
You told Dan Stevens he was handsome. That's totally cool.
Yeah.
But your voice makes me wet. Just gross.
Clearly not a professional.
No.
Clearly not professionally making decisions.
Yeah. He's a handsome man still.
He's a handsome man.
I'd say handsome.
He's super handsome.
He is.
I'm on board
with
that.
And he has a great accent. So.
So are you looking up Caligula?
I am looking up Caligula. I was just making sure I had the right names. Helen Mirren was in this movie.
Was Anthony Hopkins in this movie?
No, Peter O'Toole was.
Okay, Peter O'Toole.
Yeah. And that's about it. But the Gore Vidal wrote the screenplay.
Really?
How crazy is that? Awesome. That's crazy. Okay, sorry, keep going. Who would I like to see in the Caligula role in 1980s? I don't know.
Even if they remade
Michael
it now.
Michael Fassbender. Here we go.
Michael Fassbender would be awesome.
If they remade it now?
If they remade it now. Because he just, like, slithers on that line between, like, creepy sexy so well. Jake Gyllenhaal might actually do really well, like, if he took his Nightwatch character and did it that way. Who's
Nightcrawler.
The other? Nightcrawler, sorry. Nightwatch is the map of her in a completely different movie.
Mashed.
End of Watch. We got you.
Yeah. It was, no, Nightwatch was a,
It was a Russian horror film.
It was, but then they remade it with Ewan McGregor.
They did?
Yeah.
The Russian one was really good. Yeah.
Sorry. I don't know. Who are they going to have in that? We could talk about that.
In what?
In whatever you're about to bring up.
Oh, okay. Oh, so we're moving on from Caligula, I guess?
No, I don't have an opinion on who could play. I don't know
Oh, Fassbender, I like.
Oh, okay.
I think Fassbender would be good just because I'm thinking Shame, so.
Yeah, I was going to say it needs to be that perfect balance of, like, creepy sexy.
And depressed, like, just.
There's another actor who was recently very, like, creepy sexy. Oh, Michael Shannon might do a good job.
Oh, man.
He's a little tall, but.
Still, Fassbender's tall, too.
And he could easily go from, like, sensual and charming to, like,
psychotic.
Insane.
Yeah, that would be cool. Another movie that came out on February 1st of 1980, same as Caligula, was John Carpenter's The Fog.
What a fun weekend.
With Jamie Lee Curtis. It's about a fog that comes in with zombies. Not his most recognized one, but...
I feel like that was on our horror bracket, and Susan and I both have the same
the original, yeah, original
that we have currently, which is what?
Well, they remade it, and it was terrible.
I knew they remade it with Tom Welling, right?
Yeah, it was terrible.
I still never saw that, and I love terrible. Tom Welling, but it just looked bad.
So
I would watch it.
This next one is probably the biggest one that we have, but I'm not sure if it actually came out on February 2nd of 1985, because a couple of sites say that it did, where other sites say that it came out in 1984. I'm not sure, but it's Never Ending Story.
I love Never Ending Story.
So, they haven't remade this,
it's
but
so
they've
sad.
Made, like, two sequels.
I can't even talk
but it was
about
a
the horse in that movie.
Very, very difficult shoot. It was in Germany, and it was just went over budget. But I feel like they could remake this movie. And it would...
Hmm.
I mean, the practical effects are awesome in it, but they would do all CG. But I think they could do a
What's
good
that kid
it.
From Joe? Is he too old to do
Which
Ty
kid?
Sheridan?
Ty Sheridan. Would he be too old to play
Which
Bastion?
One?
Ty
no, Sheridan. Not at all.
Oh, Sebastian.
Sebastian. Noah Hathaway is a little older, I think, than Sebastian. Or Winnie Atreyu. But that would be awesome.
That would be cool.
Change it up. Have Quivantine and Wallace be Atreyu.
Speaking of Ty Sheridan, I'm super stoked that he's playing Cyclops.
Yeah.
Because that's one of my favorite X-Men, and I think Ty Sheridan.
And who's his opposite, the girl that's playing Jane Grey?
I've never heard of her before. I know, I mean...
Yeah,
I just,
it was a good... It was a nice casting.
But I'm sure we've all talked to Ty Sheridan, right?
Yeah,
I never talked
all.
To him.
Really?
I know he's been here twice, but I've never had a chance.
I interviewed him at South by Southwest for Joe.
Yeah, we got him for Joe as well.
Maybe he'll come again next
year.
He's come too.
But yeah, it's cool because isn't he from Texas too? I thought he was from Texas.
Maybe, I'm not sure.
But that's really cool. And the other movie that came out in 1995 was In the Mouth of Madness, which is another John Carpenter
movie.
You haven't?
Nope.
It's really scary.
There's
so
many other
Samuel.
Movies that came. So the trend I'm seeing is shitty movies still come out in February.
Yes. Yes. January and February
is
still.
Yeah.
Well,
that'll
you know,
be a masterpiece.
The one best movie ever is The Third Man, which you should see.
We will put it on our list, Brian, and
Jesus.
We will go watch
if
it.
If you want to borrow it, y'all should do it. But yeah, that's our podcast number 53.
Woo!
And we'll be back.
I can't get over that Helen Mirren was in Caligula.
Yeah, she was.
That's crazy. She was so beautiful.
And now she's in the 100-foot journey.
And in the second best Marigold Hotel, right? Isn't she in that?
Isn't that she's in
the plays
sequel?
A voice in Glee. If
the squeak.
She plays Becky Jackson's conscious Glee, like her
Aww.
Voiceover.
Really? Isn't that
yeah.
show ending finally?
Yeah.
It is. They've only got a few more episodes. But hey, honestly...
On this week's episode,
this
Kurt and what's-her-face become teachers at...
Well, they are
Kenley?
Teachers... There's no... I've given up trying to make sense of, like, Ryan Murphy just breaks all the rules of, like, the holes. There's so many holes in that show.
Yeah. He's like, I just gotta get this finished.
But. Yeah, he's just, like, finishing it. But I think since they've only got, like, 8 episodes left, they're actually tightening the storyline, and they're I think it'll be a solid ending.
What's his face dead? Like, where did Mr. Shu go?
Oh, no, he went to the rival school. Like, Sue got him a job at Vocal Adrenaline's school, and he's the teacher for that. So he's the competition now.
Why did he leave?
Because she disbanded the Glee Club last season, and she was like, well, here you go, here's this job.
I have like a million questions about the show.
it's ridiculous.
Is what's her face still on the show? The girlfriend that he married or whatever?
I think she appears in the next episode. She's busy, so she's not like on it full time, but she's referenced. Like, he's married to her and they have a kid.
Oh, they're still married. Okay, yes. Cool. Well, there you go.
Yeah.
This Glee moment brought to you by
Glee.
How Susan sees it.
Well, that's how we'll end podcast number 53. It's been awesome. We'll be back in 2 weeks.
We coming back on Valentine's Day, the day after Valentine's Day?
Correct. We'll all tell our
50
sex.
Shades of Grey.
We'll tell our sex Valentine stories on the air.
My
starting with Susan.
I watched Fifty Shades of Grey again, and it was amazing.
And find us on Facebook and Twitter, and find us on Stitcher Radio and iTunes, and rate us and review us. Our one listener, which is Gwen's mom.
Yeah, I don't even think my mom listens.
We say hi.
My friend Alicia listens, so
Sweet.
That's good.
Well, good, good. So we'll be back. We'll be back next 2 weeks. 2 weeks from now.
All right.
Happy Valentine's Day.